Well, Val, you had the opportunity. You spent some time in Nebraska yesterday afternoon, really getting a chance to check out some of the different things that are happening with the Conservation Reserve Program. I understand you were even in my neck of the woods of Butler County, being able to look at some great conservation partners and fields.
I sure did, Susan. Thanks for having me on this morning. You know, it was really a great opportunity for me to see conservation programs at work here on the ground in Nebraska. We do a lot of wonderful things for the state's farmers and ranchers, and CRP is one of those really successful programs.
As you got a chance to check out these CRP fields, what were some of the sites that you saw, and was it what you expected to see?
It was. You know, I've had the good fortune to see CRP at work in many states around the country, and certainly yesterday's field visits to a couple of different farms in Nebraska was no exception. I think that they're doing good work with pollinator habitats. That's become an increasingly popular practice in CRP, and so we visited a fellow that had planted just this spring, and already it looked like the field had been in bloom for a couple of years, and then we went down the road to see a somewhat more mature operation, and he's also taken pollinator practices and really implemented them quite well. And then he has some older CRP stands as well that include native grasses. And you know, wherever we go, the partnership between the Farm Service Agency and other USDA agencies and stakeholder groups like Pheasants Forever and Quail Forever and Ducks Unlimited and other organizations like that, along with the state of Nebraska in this case, has been a very good recipe for success.
And celebrating the 30th anniversary of the program on top of it.
Indeed. CRP has been around since the mid-80s, and it's really been the successful program wherever it's been implemented. You know, we're at a cap now of about 24 million acres. It's been as high as 37 or 38 million and started in humble beginnings at about 750,000 acres. So we've seen lots of different examples of how this public-private partnership can be made to work to the benefit of not just the farmers and ranchers that participate in the program, but urban Americans that enjoy cleaner air, cleaner water, and greater access to America's working landscapes.
And it's something that for many producers can be easily implemented on their farms.
It is. You know, we've struggled a little bit with the acreage cap this year, and there was certainly more interest in the program than I had acres to pass out around the countryside. But, you know, it's a program that for continuous practices, much like the pollinator practices that I saw yesterday, I would encourage farmers to contact their local FSA office or contact Nebraska Game and Park and maybe the Pheasants Forever chapter in your neck of the woods to see about how you might enroll your land in some of these practices.
As you look over what's been happening, I know there's been some designations that have come, unfortunately, for some of our states, emergency designations just to the north of us in South Dakota. So Mother Nature isn't as nice as she's been to some of them here in the Midwest.
That's right. You know, that's another very important role that the Farm Service Agency plays around the country, and that's helping farmers recover from natural disasters, whether it's wildfires in California or drought or blizzards or other things. And, you know, we've got good emergency loan programs that offer an opportunity for somebody to get up off the ground and begin to recover from those impacts. And I would encourage farmers that have been hit hard by natural disasters or have had a disaster declaration made in their state to reach out to the local USDA Service Center and see what programs FSA or NRCS or other agencies might be able to provide to begin to recover.
When you took over in this role, you had the desire to be able to meet as many farmers, as many producers, and as many county offices as possible. How are you doing on that list?
Well, pretty well so far. I've been now to 45 states, and I've got five more to get to before the end of my time in office. But I think, Susan, it really makes me a more effective administrator of a federal agency if I can maintain my connection with the grassroots of this widely, you know, this diverse agency. We've got 2,200 offices almost from Maine to California. And American agriculture, as you well know, is a very unique part of our economy. You know, what happens here in Nebraska is different from what happens even a state or two away, and certainly from coast to coast I've seen those differences as well. So it's important for me to be able to visit with our county office staff in particular. I've always felt that the real strength of the agency lies in our county offices, and I'm going to get to a couple in Nebraska here today before I cross over into Iowa, and I'll probably see the state office in Des Moines and maybe a county office or two in that state too, in that state before I head back to Washington on Friday.
Well, you talk about the vital role that the county offices have, and Monday was the deadline for the county committee elections. They too play a vital role in what happens for the FSA.
Yes, indeed they do. You know, I think we have about 7,700 or so former elected county committee members around the nation, and they help county offices with a wide variety of things, ranging from hearing program appeals to helping counties do better outreach on new programs to, you know, helping educate their fellow farmers and ranchers about what FSA is up to these days. And so the work of the county committees, and, you know, we've just closed that nomination period, and we'll get into the election period in a little bit, and then by December we'll be in the process of bringing on new county committee men and women around the nation. They play a very vital role. You know, I think we're a unique federal agency in that we're so closely connected to the grassroots of our customer base. You know, county committee members are typically also program participants, and that rural footprint of almost 2,200 offices from coast to coast really sets us apart from most other federal agencies.
And you really can't brag enough about what they do in those county offices.
Oh, the accomplishments have been enormous just in the 2 years that I've been the administrator. We've really completed the lion's share of the 2014 Farm Bill implementation. We're making loans at record paces. We're going to make significant payments under the ARC and TLC programs this fall. We've got a dairy program that we're engaged in sign up for. We just completed another historic level of acreage reporting. Everything that we do really breaks the records that we set the year before, which broke the records of the previous year. So I couldn't be prouder of the 15,000 or so folks that work for FSA around the nation.
How are those dairy program signups going so far?
The dairy program signups are going well. You know, this is a new program like all of these Farm Bill programs were, and it's one that we, spent a lot of time doing public outreach around. But I've always encouraged dairy operations to get in and ask questions of their local county offices if they have outstanding questions, and at the very least to sign up for the catastrophic level of coverage, which will help protect their operations as we see, you know, some volatility in dairy pricing these days. So signups will go for that program through the end of September, and we'll look and see where we are at that point. But they're going fairly well so far.
As you look over the last 2 years, and you still have time ahead of you, what has got to be your biggest accomplishment so far, Val?
You know, I think that I've focused a lot on, a number of issues, really. I've spent a lot of time on the road, of course, and I think that that's been important for not only our employees, but stakeholder groups to get to know the work of the agency a little bit more and hear from a leader who's not shy about really talking about the accomplishments of what FSA does and to support farmers and ranchers around the country. And I've certainly focused on more internally driven issues like our IT system and our budget issues and some of the resource issues that, you know, challenge most federal agencies around the country and around the government. So I hope to be able to look back on my time as FSA administrator and feel a sense of pride around the opportunity that we created and expanded for farmers and ranchers of all sizes, from the biggest operations here in the Midwest to the smallest operations in, you know, coastal California. There's an opportunity for FSA to help everyone, and I've really tried to open our doors as widely as I can to make sure that that happens.
And I love the fact that you've worked so hard to work interagency as well, not only with your local FSA, but you've pulled what's happening in the USDA, the NRCS, and really kind of blended it all together in many ways.
Yeah, you know, I think it's important for leaders in my position to be able to speak about what other agencies are doing. And, you know, the work that we do in the countryside for most Americans isn't agency specific. They just look at it as, you know, the USDA working to help rural communities. And so whether it's a conservation program or a rural development program or a school lunch program or anything else, I want to be able to make sure that I'm highlighting their efforts as well.